A psalm of praise. Psalm 145, 1 through 14 is our text this morning. We're in Psalms again. Last week we heard from Psalm 119 from some of the verses there, and we're in Psalms again. Last week's Psalm 119, we noted, was an acrostic. Each set of eight verses beginning with a new Hebrew letter from the Hebrew alphabet, which is why it's so long, 22 letters times 8, you get 176. So that's why we have so many verses there. The focus of that psalm was centered on God's law and God's word, and other words, other synonyms used for that as well. And there was an encouragement to listen and learn and trust God's word, His law. Today we have Psalm 145, which is also an acrostic, but not nearly as long, as it's only one verse for each letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and one of them is missing too, but who knows why that is, but it is. There's also a different theme in this one. In this psalm, we hear there's a subscript there, a subtitle, I guess it would be, under Psalm 145. It says it's a psalm of praise of David. So that's all of the description that we have of where it came from. There's not really enough in there to give us an explanation of what point in David's life this might have been written, but really it's a psalm coming out of a time, at some point, whatever's going on, he has a desire to praise God, and really more broadly than just his experience with God, but really an experience that is for all people across the world. And so that's what we find from it. Our text today is two-thirds of this psalm. Part of it, as I mentioned earlier, we had in our worship and giving. And as we listen to the words of this psalm, let's listen to what it says about praising God, about what it is and why we praise God. Our text is from Psalm 145, 1 through 16. I'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read that this morning. Psalm 145, 1 through, sorry, 14, reading in Jesus' name. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word to us. We thank you for this song of praise written so long ago and yet with words that we can use also to praise you. As we consider the ways that we may do that, I ask that you would guide our hearts and our minds and focus us on you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and I'll invite any of the kids that would like to come up to the front here. All right, come on up. Do you have any more coming up this way? A few more, maybe? All right, come on up. All right, a few more. All right, come on up. All right, I want you to think about something that you have seen, either something that has happened that you have seen, or maybe something that someone you know or someone you have seen do something that is so amazing you want to tell other people about it. I remember one time I had, my family was traveling to kind of a remote area in Mexico, and we got to this spot and there was a lightning bolt that hit the ground right in front of us, right in front of our car, out of nowhere. There was no indication there was a storm or anything. Just boom, there it was. Lightning right in front of us. That was amazing. We were all surprised and kind of wondering what else was going to happen. Well, it turns out there wasn't a whole lot else that happened for whatever reason. There was just kind of one lightning bolt that happened right there. Can you think of anything that was amazing that you have seen? Maybe something recently? Or maybe it's something that somebody has done. Did you ever see a friend kind of try to jump over something and they made it? They're trying to, can I jump this high? How about anything you can think of? Anything you want to share with me?
I can jump over a big water balloon.
You can jump over a big water balloon.
Nice.
Never
been before.
Oh.
I need to try
it. Oh, you need to try it because you have, okay. You're confident you can do it, huh? So you got to try it sometime. All right. I'll look forward to hearing how it goes. Yeah. Who else? Anybody else? Have you seen anybody do something amazing? Or have you seen something that was, you're just like, wow, that was really neat? Anything? Anybody see some fun fireworks last night? Any of you see some? Did you see some of them?
Yeah, we did some.
In your neighbor's yard? And you too? Did you have some nearby?
I heard some. I didn't see any.
You heard some? They can be pretty loud, can't they? Do you like the ones that are a big boom and you maybe see a lot of white there? Or do you like ones that maybe they're a little quieter but you see a lot of colors? You guys have a favorite? Boom? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yellow or orange. You saw those colors? Yeah. Yeah. Big boom. All right, 100 drums playing at the same time. That's good. That helps us picture what we heard. You had one too? Yeah. You saw some red, white, and blue too. Nice. Yeah. Iron eagle, fiery frog. I'll have to ask you later about those. That sounds really interesting. Well, we're thinking about... Oh, one more. Okay. What do you have? Something amazing? Uh-huh. And you saw some of them?
No. We had some.
Uh-huh. Okay. Kind of fountain ones? Yeah. Okay. Well, we're thinking about things that are amazing that we can say things about, and especially the things that are amazing about God and things that we can say about Him. So I'm going to have you guys, let's see, could you do those? Maybe I'll have you another time, okay? You want to pass those out? All right. Would you like to pass some out here? There you go. And maybe you guys can pass them out. There we go. All right, thanks for coming up. You guys can go back to your seats. All right. All right. There enough there for everyone? Everybody's got one? Somebody needs to go that way maybe? Track him down? Get him one of those papers? All right. Well... May 8th, 2001, I drove up with a friend to, at the time it was called The Bob, Bank One Ballpark. That was a great name for it. Then, you know, Bank One merged with Chase. Now it's Chase Field. That's not as fun, you know, Chase Field. The Bob, that was a fun name for a stadium in Phoenix, Arizona. Pulled up there ready for a Diamondbacks game. They were playing the Cincinnati Reds that day. My friend and I were a little late. We had something we had to do previous to that, but we were joining another group of friends there, about 30 of us that were there, and We happen to be in a section of the stadium that they give out Circle K cardboard signs to, and every time there's a strikeout, everybody in the section is supposed to wave these Circle K K's for a strikeout. And on that particular day, Randy Johnson, a pretty accomplished pitcher with a lot of strikeouts in his career, he was pitching. And by the end of six innings, he had struck out 12 batters. And in the stadium there, at the time at least, they had these screens. Up behind our section, there were these screens that had, each one was just a Circle K logo up there. And they kept track of how many strikeouts there were. And they kept adding up. They kept accumulating more and more. 12 strikeouts by the end of the sixth inning. The last three innings, nine batters, he struck out eight of them, getting to 20 strikeouts in that game. And so they only had 16 screens. So after 16, they had to start hanging banners over the railing to add up the other ones. It was amazing to watch it as he struck out so many batters in that game. Now, he tied the major league record for nine innings, but not the major league record for a nine-inning game, because unfortunately the score was tied 1-1. And it was a little bit of a letdown of a finish, because the Diamondbacks changed pitchers three times. They took him out of the game, changed pitchers three times in the 10th inning. Eventually in the 11th inning, the Reds scored. The Diamondbacks matched it, and then they won on a walk. Bases loaded walk. That's the way. With so many strikeouts in the game ended on a walk. Well, later that fall, and some of you baseball fans might have been paying attention to that, the Diamondbacks, with Randy Johnson on the team, faced the Yankees and did what the Twins have a hard time doing. They beat the Yankees in the postseason. You know, out of four, you know, it was four games to three. It was an amazing World Series to follow. Randy Johnson ended up with three wins in the game. Very unusual, especially for a starting pitcher. It was the first time since 1968 that that had happened, and apparently it happened again last year. Two times since 1968. He ended up with three wins during the World Series, and the Diamondbacks won. It was amazing. And the Yankees lost. That was even more amazing, you know, for some of us at least. Well, we all have great stories to tell, don't we? Some of these great stories, they might be about ourselves, some of the things we enjoy telling about things that we have done. They might be about others, things that we have seen others do, like my experience watching Randy Johnson strike out 20 batters in nine innings. Some of them might be about experiences that we have. We might think about the things that fall into these different categories that we might like to tell about. Some of them might be sports accomplishments. They might be individual or accomplishments as a team. There might be music that we enjoy. We might see a musical performance that's just so exceptional we can't wait to tell somebody about it. There might be things that we see in the theater, acting, great acting, that we say, that was a great performance. It was, the whole thing came to life for me. In politics, we might, you know, at times there's a landslide victory and we say, wow, that was amazing. This particular candidate just took it all. Everybody was in support of that candidate. In stories of wartime, wherever they may happen, we have amazing actions that are told sometimes, maybe even self-sacrifice on the part of one person for others, serving others in times of war, defending others. All of these things maybe inspire us. They tell about the accomplishments that people have done, and we love to tell the stories that we hear of great things that others have done, and sometimes the things that we have done as well. But none of these accomplishments are even a shadow compared to what God has done and who God is. And it's a realization like that that draws David to say, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Now, I can tell the story that I just told about watching Randy Johnson strike out all of those batters in that game. I can tell that story more than once. I'm probably not going to tell it to all of you very soon again. You already heard the story, and I could maybe tell it again. I could tell of other accomplishments of Randy Johnson, but eventually, before too long actually, I'll run out. I'll run out of things to tell of what Randy Johnson has done. But how about God? How about who God is? Is it possible to run out of stories to tell of who God is and what He has done? David says here, forever and ever. Is that too long to have stories to tell about what God has done? And not just thinking about eventually in eternity, we can tell and praise God and talk about the things that He has done. But really the focus is here on earth, in this life. He's really using forever and ever to talk about a way of saying that in this life, there's no end of time that I could talk about how great God is every day. Now, it might seem hard to do, to be doing that constantly all day long. It's not what we do, probably. But could we do that? If that was our focus, would we run out of things to tell about God? Is there any doubt that we would never run out of things? Now, maybe it's hard because there's too much. There's that, really, it's too much. In fact, the amazing things that God does, in some ways, we might say they're so common, we're just used to them. We're used to them because it's so common, the amazing things that God does. And the reality is we're focused here on our daily life often, and for good reason. There are a lot of things to take care of. But we think about the ways that we can talk about God. Great is the Lord, David says, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. I think that's part of it, isn't it? I think we don't even realize sometimes how great God is. No one can fathom. We have other words that David uses to describe the works that God does and who He is. In the following verses, His glorious splendor, he says, His awesome works, His abundant goodness. It's like everything about God is overflowing so much that it's even hard to take it in. We look at the things around us. We look at nature. We look at rain. Maybe some of you experienced a storm last night. Yeah, storm came through. We were with some friends, and we had to pack things up and go inside because we saw the storm coming through, the rain coming. We see sunshine. Dude, we got sunshine today. It's wonderful. We see the plants. We see the animals. Oh, yeah, look out right there. There's some birds out in the field. Oh, that's amazing. They're picking at something out there. We see the different parts of creation. Thunderstorms, calm days, both are amazing. We can imagine people long ago not understanding the world and making up superstitious stories about it. At least that's the way a lot of people kind of think about things in the past. They didn't understand things, so they made up stories about what's going on, about these gods, things like that, that are, you know, in the different parts of nature. As we begin to understand more, we start to understand it more, and maybe we don't have the same superstitions as people long ago did, but then the more we learn, the more we find that we don't know, the more there is to discover. We can think of on a larger and larger scale. You know, in ancient times, they saw the stars without realizing what they were and the distances to the different stars. They just saw them in the sky. They saw the sun and the moon and the different things. You know, that was about the extent. You know, some of the planets they could see, didn't really know about the large scope of the universe. And the more that we learn, the farther out our knowledge goes. We learn about more planets. We learn about more stars. We learn about black holes, other things that exist out there that people never knew about. We learn about more galaxies beyond our own, bigger and bigger and bigger. We learn more. On the opposite end of the scale, we think about, you know, what was the smallest thing that we could see before microscopes? Well, you're looking at just, you know, pieces, little particles of things here, but then you could get microscopes. You see it even smaller. You see living organisms that are smaller than we can see with our own eyes. We find atoms, the building blocks of the things in our world, and we think, All right, we've gotten to the bottom of things. We've seen what things are made of. But no, we find out there's even smaller than that. It's even more complicated than we even realized going to that level. The more that we understand, our tendency is to get more proud of ourselves. But what we don't realize sometimes is the more that we understand, it means that there's more that we don't understand. And the more that we are discovering in the world, not only does it mean that there's more out there, but it means that God not only understands what the ancients saw in our solar system, He understands all of it. So when we find more, we realize that God understands and knows even more than we imagined that He did before. God knows it all. Our understanding of the size of the universe just makes our understanding of God even bigger, or maybe more incomprehensible. And as God knows all of this, we understand the complexity that exists and how hard it would be to work everything for the best. And yet God does. It's amazing. David says, "One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts." This is simply passing on the things to the young that are around us, to our children. This happens with culture as we pass on and teach the way that we do things. And it happens with faith as we pass on and teach the things about God. It might be through regular time reading the Bible. It might be taking time to tell the stories. Stories from God's Word, but also stories from our lives. Maybe taking time together to do that. We think about previous times in the church where maybe there was a time where it was more common to have a time of sharing testimonies of the time of what God has been doing in your life. That's what that was about. Telling the stories of what God has done, telling of God's splendor, of His works, of His goodness, especially of His goodness. And David says, "And joyfully sing of your righteousness." We tell of His acts, we joyfully sing of His righteousness. And it's important to remember, too, that God is not just powerful. He's not just powerful. He is powerful. He's all powerful. He's righteous. We sing of His righteousness. But the reality is that His righteousness would not be good for us unless we also could be righteous. But we can sing joyfully of His righteousness. Why? Why can we do that, even though His righteousness is not good for us who are not righteous? Because, David says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. Part of what we tell, along with God's greatness, His righteousness, His justice, we also tell about His compassion. It's why we gather here together, to hear of God's compassion. As we receive communion together later, too, we remember His compassion. That's what it's about. The works of God, creation, acts of nature that we see around us, His act of sustaining the world, His righteousness, His judgment, these can all cause praise. We can praise God because of all these things, but without His compassion, it might just be a very fearful, cowering praise. Yes, we could sing of His greatness, but only as one that deserves to be destroyed. But we don't need to fear, because He is gracious and compassionate. The scripture reading we had from Zechariah talks about restoration, the restoration of God's people, hope for the hopeless. And so our text here, this first part, this first two-thirds of this psalm, concludes with some response from God's creation as a way of describing how we might praise Him. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. Not just the people, but all of His works. As we see the things around us, as we watch the way that creation works together, the laws of physics and all of that, we watch all of that, And we might imagine creation speaking out in praise of God. They tell of the glory of God's kingdom so that all people might know, that all people might hear. We might celebrate in maybe many good ways our nation, the freedoms that we have in it, the good that we have in it. Alongside that, we of course must acknowledge those things that are not good, those things that are bad in the existence of our nation. And alongside that, we also know that it won't last. As good as it might be, it won't last. But God's kingdom is everlasting. He rules all. And as we think again about Zechariah and what he had to say, that's a good thing. It's good that God rules all, because even though we deserve judgment, he will rule in peace. And especially as we hear from David again in this psalm, the Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. Good things for us to remember in a broken world, acknowledging God's greatness and our unworthiness to be in his presence. He's trustworthy in his promises. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. Wonderful promises to us. Our praises give thanks to God for what he has done. They remind us of what he has done. They also tell others of what he has done so that they also may know and praise God. Now, we might not have a testimony night like many churches did in past times, telling of what God is doing in our lives, but we praise God in different ways. We praise God as we gather together here to praise him. As we do that in song, as we do that as we hear his word and in other ways, we do that toward others as well as we tell what God has done. Sometimes we tell others, in essence, our testimony. Not an official testimony night, not something that has to do with anything in particular that is kind of a set thing that God has done in our lives, but we just tell others about God, how God has worked in our lives. That's telling them our testimony of what he has done, of what God has done. It's praising him. We praise him because we have the privilege to know him, because we are his, and he invites us to come to him, and we gladly do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for everything that you are, everything that you do. We thank and praise you for your work as creator, for your work as redeemer, saving us from our rebellion against you. We thank you for gathering us together here, building us into your body so that we can praise you, so that we can tell others about you. I ask that you would do that. Shine through us. Share your love and your compassion through us to those around us. I ask, too, that you would be with a day camp that's happening this week, as that's an opportunity to share your word with people, whether they know it already or don't know it at all. They all are people who need to hear about your salvation. We pray that you would guide that time too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.